As he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. This is talking about Jesus. He had a habit. He went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. It was part of his life. His upbringing was that way, and he continued that into his adult life. And on this particular day, after he had been baptized by John in the Jordan River, you remember that the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And the Lord had told John, when you see the Spirit come upon this one, you will know he is the Messiah. And of course, that was Jesus. And Jesus stood there being baptized in water and baptized in the Holy Spirit, or receiving the anointing of God. At the same time, he became Messiah. The Messiah means the anointed one. That's what the word means in the Hebrew language. Messiah means the same as Christos in the Greek language, or the Christ. When you say Jesus is the Christ, you're really saying Jesus is the Messiah. And so, after this happened, this anointing came upon Jesus' life, he goes into the synagogue and he begins to read. And he opens up the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he found the place where it is written this in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And that just happened. That's something that just happened to him in the Jordan River as the dove came. And now he's standing up and proclaiming to these people that what was prophesied hundreds of years ago has actually just happened. And so, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And I want you to focus on this word "because" for a minute. When the Spirit of God comes upon our life, it is for a reason. He came upon us because. He came upon Jesus. I'm speaking of Jesus right now. He came upon him because. Whenever you study the idea of an anointing in the Bible, you always find that it is the time when the Spirit of God came upon a person for a purpose, for a reason. God had something for this person to do that was way beyond anything they could do in their own natural being. And he anointed them with his Spirit to accomplish that task. And the same is true with Jesus. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because he wanted me to have goosebumps. Anybody's Bible say that? "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," because he wanted me to sit around in a group of people and just have fun talking about how awesome Jesus is. Is that what your Bible says? No. It's because he anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. See, Jesus came with this mission to be accomplished, and he received an anointing. The Spirit of God came upon him for this reason, to proclaim good news to the poor. "He sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." I want you to look at those things. Go back there for a minute. Let's just look at those things for a minute. I mean, Jesus came into a world that was oppressed by Satan, a broken world like ours today, still like ours today. There's still people like this today. There are people who are poor, I mean, poverty that keeps people bound up in certain ways of thinking and certain, I don't know, just things that happen in their life just because of poverty. And Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. Maybe we still need to be doing that today. Has the Spirit of God come upon us for something more? That's my question. Why did God anoint you or me with the Holy Spirit? When you got saved, the Spirit of God came inside of you, and many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I would like you to just put that word "because" there and say, Jesus baptized me in the Holy Spirit because. And you need to figure out what that "because" is. And I think the Scriptures show us clearly what it is. And my challenge to us today is to say, hey, if God has anointed me with His Holy Spirit, don't let me waste it. Don't let me take that which God has given, freely given to me, and let it languish. And so he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. I mean, we live in the world like that. We live in a world where there are many captives. I don't mean just prisoners. Obviously, there are people in prison. They need Jesus. They've committed crimes. They're paying for their crimes, but they need Jesus. And there are people that are in prison for their faith. All kinds of people in prison. But there's other kinds of captivity as well, not just being in prison. There's addiction, and there's people who are bound under all kinds of things. They're held captive to it. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he wants me to bring liberty to the captives. What a great ministry. He wants me to give sight to the blind. And again, I think Jesus spoke about literal blindness, where he actually healed blind people, but he also talked about spiritual blindness, how the Pharisees were spiritually blind, and we have a world full of blindness, both spiritual as well as physical. And Jesus came to be a light to those who are in darkness, to shine a light in this world, to open blind eyes, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. I mean, you could just make this an overlay and say this is our world in 2020. So I'm thinking maybe God has also anointed us because of the world we live in, because of these things. That he's actually given us, along with this empowerment, this baptism in the Holy Spirit, this being filled with the Spirit, a purpose behind it. You know, something to use it for. That it wouldn't go as a wasted endeavor in our lives. And so Jesus rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant. He sat down, and the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And of course, at that point, many wanted to stone him, but he was speaking the truth. Today, the one you've been waiting for all this time, all these years, the one that's been prophesied about, I'm standing here before you. And I came to bring liberty. I came to set you free. I came to open blind eyes. All these things, the anointing has been given to me, and I'm here now to bring the good news of the kingdom. And they rejected him. But that's why Jesus came, and it's why he was anointed. I would like I don't want to keep saying the word challenge you, but think about all the different ways we come up with trying to solve the world's problems. But the way of Jesus was, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because of all these things that are in the world, the Spirit of God is upon me. I don't think anybody's better positioned than a church full of the Holy Spirit. And I mean the church around the world, full of the Holy Spirit, to speak into the problems in the world today. I mean, we can't fix all of our problems with money, with governments, with laws. These are spiritual problems. And Jesus said, you know what? I came into that kind of a world to solve the problem, and I want you to know how I'm going to do it. The Spirit of God is upon me. And Jesus began to go out into the world around him and through the power of God's Spirit touch the lives of these kinds of people. Here's a little definition of anointing. It's God's power over human flesh to do what only God can do. You know, God calls us into this kind of a world. We're here. It's all around us. But he's also said, hey, I'm going to give you my spirit. I want to pour my spirit upon you to do what I can do. We just read a scripture about God is imploring through us to be reconciled to God. God wants to work through our lives to touch these kinds of people. Now, you might say, well, that's Jesus. Jesus, he was the Son of God, and he had that power. We read the stories. That's Jesus. I'm just little old me sitting here in Alliance, Ohio. Well, I think an honest look at the scripture, you will see that Jesus wants every one of his people to have this power. Here's a great example, Matthew 10. These 12, I'm reading Matthew 10, verse 5. So that was the ministry of Jesus, but he also extended it to his disciples. He gave them this same authority when he sent them out. And it says, Jesus sent the 12, instructing them, go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He would go to the Jews at another point in time, but now his focus was on Israel. And he said, proclaim as you go, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When you have that message, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you're basically saying, the king is here. The king that you've been waiting for, the Messiah, the one who would bring deliverance, you've been waiting for, you've been praying for, you've been looking for, anticipating. He's here now. The kingdom of heaven is here. Can you reach out? Can you touch it? And the kingdom of heaven is where the king rules. And when the kingdom of heaven comes into a place or into a life, it brings the reign of God into the situation. And so Jesus' message was, preach this. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what else did he say? Heal the sick and raise the dead. Does your Bible say raise the dead? We look at this and we say, how can this be? It's almost like we're almost like pre-programmed in our mind to think that this all relies upon you. It doesn't. It's the Lord. It is his authority. It is his call. It is his command. Go heal the sick and raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and cast out demons. And then he says words like this, you received without paying, give without paying. I like the way the King James says it. Freely you have received, freely give. I like that, what that kind of speaks to me. God has freely given me, I'm going to speak about me, God has freely given to me the anointing of his Holy Spirit. And to you. He's freely given it. Didn't cost us anything. All we had to do was believe in Jesus. I mean, in a sense, it cost us our entire life, but you didn't have to pay for it. He says, here, I want you to have this anointing as well. I want to send you the way that I've been sent. And so this great blessing, the anointing of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you being filled with God's Spirit, has come upon us, but it's because. Don't ever forget there's a because in here. Because God also wants to use us to go into this broken world and bring this gospel. It is called, Jesus said this in Luke 4, it's a quote from Isaiah, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. We're still living in the year of the Lord's favor. The Lord's favor is here. He is still extending his grace and his mercy to all those around us. We're still at that time. There's a day when this year of the Lord's favor will end and he will bring the judgment upon the world. But right now is the year of the Lord's favor. And what a blessing it is for us to take what's been freely given and freely give it. But we don't want to take this great power that God's given and just put it on a shelf and say, well, maybe one day I'll pick it up. No, he's given us this power because. Imagine what those guys were like when Jesus said this to them. They were still fairly young in their time with Jesus. But he said, hey, guys, I want you to go out into these cities here and just proclaim the kingdom of heaven is here. And by the way, while you're there, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. The Bible gives us a little picture of what happened. You remember the story in Luke 10 when they came back and it said, the 72 returned with joy saying, Lord, even the demons are subject. I mean, they went out there, they couldn't believe. Even the demons are subject to us in your name. I mean, they went out on this mission being sent by Jesus with his authority and with his power to do this work. And as they went forth, things began to actually happen. Now, there's times they failed. There was a time they tried to cast a demon out, and they couldn't. And they said, Lord, why can't we cast this demon out? But the fact is they were out doing it. They were doing what Jesus called them to do. Freely you have received, freely give. And these guys didn't go through seminary. They didn't go through rabbinical school. They were just with Jesus. Freely you've received, freely give. And so we see that story. And then my final scripture I'll read is in Acts, the 10th chapter. Acts 10, verse 37. This is when there was a Gentile person named Cornelius who had a love for God. He was not a believer, but not a Christian. He had not known Jesus in that sense. But he had a heart for God, and the Lord wanted to save him. The Lord wanted to save this man and his whole household. So if you read earlier in the chapter 10, you'll find that God worked these amazing miracles, both in Cornelius' life and in Peter's life, to bring them together. And so now the day comes when Peter actually goes to Cornelius' house, and it's a little bit of a violation of the law for Peter to even go into the house of a Gentile. But he's directed there by the Lord. And so Peter comes and he steps across this threshold into the house of Cornelius. And he wasn't even sure what to talk about. And so he just started telling them about the story of Jesus. And he said this in verse 37, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed. How God, listen to this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. God anointed. Now, when you read the Old Testament, you'll find that the word anointed, anointing, is often associated with putting oil on somebody or pouring oil upon their head. And in the New Covenant, there is times where oil is used, like for elders to pray for the sick and things like that, but it's like there's a little bit of a shift. He says, the anointing here is the Holy Spirit. Just like those guys were anointed with oil to carry out a task in the Old Covenant, we've been anointed with the Holy Spirit. Now, I love the story about David when he was ordained to be the king of Israel. It says, as Samuel poured the oil upon him, the Holy Spirit came upon him in power. That's a beautiful picture of what anointing is. It's not just that oil. It's not just a ceremony. It is that the Spirit of God came upon him in power. And so today, we find in the New Covenant that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. When I think of this, baptism in the Holy Spirit, this power that comes upon his church, that is the anointing. That is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is something of God that comes to you. The Christo, Christ, the anointed one. So God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power. You know, you can't have the Holy Spirit without having power. I mean, they go hand in hand. And what does it say Jesus did? It says that he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That's what this anointing was. It was Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. And then what did he do? He went about doing good. Doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. He was coming to take back the kingdom. He was coming to bring his kingdom into this world that had been sold out by Adam and Eve thousands of years earlier. The kingdom is here. Preach, the kingdom of heaven is here, and here comes the king. And he's going to heal the sick and cleanse the leper and raise the dead and set the oppressed free and open blind eyes. This is what Jesus is doing. That's why the anointing came upon him. And now we find this story kind of confirming that Jesus received the Holy Spirit and power. He went about doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And then verse 39, Peter says, and we are witnesses. We are witnesses. Do you ever remember what Jesus told the disciples in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8? Chapter 1, verse 8. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until you receive power from on high, and you shall be my witnesses. So Peter is basically saying to them, we are witnesses. We have received also that anointing. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they were all in the upper room, and these tongues of fire appeared upon their heads. They began to speak in other tongues. And this was identified through those scriptures as being the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Jesus had this power in his life. It was also poured out upon those disciples. And it says later on in Acts chapter 2, in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. So many people today like to talk about the last days. And there's lots of things the Bible says about the last days. But one of the things it says about the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. And yes, even though there is corruption and there is deception and there is false prophets and turmoil and trouble and strife all over the world today, God is also pouring out his Spirit on all flesh. Now I hope when he pours out his Spirit upon this flesh or that flesh, we can say, because he's pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, because. And so Peter is saying, you know what, we're witnesses of this, of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and Jerusalem. But they put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who have been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us. See, you've received power because, what was it? Because here, he commanded us to preach to the people, to testify, to say that Jesus has risen, to give the people the hope, to continue that ministry he gave them in Matthew 10, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. As you read through the book of Acts, you see the church of Jesus Christ that has been empowered by the Holy Spirit, now an anointed church, going out and doing these same things throughout the world at that time. The power of God came upon them because there's something he wants done in this world. There's a task, there's a mission, there's a purpose behind it. And so he commanded us to preach to the people and testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness through his name. And look what happened. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed. See, they kind of felt like the Jews were God's chosen people. This is kind of a new door that's been opened up into the Gentile world. And all of a sudden, we're seeing these Gentiles receiving the anointing of God in their life. We know that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power. We know that he went about healing the sick and those oppressed of the devil and doing good. And we know that we received that power on the day of Pentecost, and he's called us to be witnesses. But now we're seeing that the Gentile world has also received this anointing. And so Peter saw these people. They had received the Holy Spirit. It was poured out even on the Gentiles in verse 46. How did they know? How did they know the Holy Spirit had been poured out? For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. You might say, well, tongues sounds like a strange thing. Yep, it does. It does to me too. But I'm not God. God did this. This is God's plan. That's how Peter and the Jews who were with him recognized that God's anointing is to go to others. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and said, in the last days, God will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And now he's kind of witnessing that right in front of him. Wow, I'm amazed that even on these Gentiles, God is pouring out of his Spirit. Why? Because the work to be done is so huge. It can't be done by one person. It can't be done by 12 apostles. It can't be done by the 120. It can't be done by the 5,000. God is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh because we still live in a world broken, lost, and in sin. Freely you have received, freely give. I just love what happened here. Peter saw this and he says, hey, you know what? Verse 47, can anybody withhold water for baptizing these people? They've received the Holy Spirit just like we have. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And they asked him to remain some days. The Bible doesn't tell us what happened after that. But I can imagine that Cornelius and his household took the gospel to their community and maybe beyond. That was the DNA that was part of that church. But I like this story because you see that sort of a chain, I don't want to call it a chain reaction, but Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit. The upper room was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And now one of those from the upper room is taking that message, and we see the Gentile people filled with the Holy Spirit. And so my question to you is, it says in the book of Acts that this gift, this Holy Spirit, will be given to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So here we are today in 2020. And as I said, I know there are many of you who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. You have this anointing of God in your life. What are you going to do with it? Freely you have received, freely give. Take this Holy Spirit, this anointing that's, the Holy Spirit is a person, he's with you, that this anointing that's been given, and say, Lord, how do you want me to use it? Who are the blind? Who are the oppressed? Who are those who need healing? Who are the people in my life that need to see this? And just open your heart to them. Freely we have received, freely give. I'd like you to stand with me. You have something to share? Yeah, go ahead.
So even during worship, the Lord started like talking to me about this, you know, word mature. And he was telling me, and I didn't share it at that time, but, you know, he's telling me to share it now. Like, he wants us to move on to maturity. So, like, whatever it is that we're hung up on, whatever it is that we need him to heal in us, like, we need to go to him and get that healed because he wants us to move on to maturity and do the works that he has planned for us. You know, I get so excited about this because I was not a person who could talk to anyone. I didn't have any good skill. I had, like, no good skill. And, like, I was like, what am I going to do with my life? It was, like, a mess. But then when Jesus came into my life, it was like I was able to tell people about that and see their lives transformed. And that's so exciting because I'm so grateful for what he did for me, and I want to see it happen to other people. But it was that empowerment of the Holy Spirit that he's talking about. I can't do it. And like, it's just, he wants me to remind you guys that you're not alone in doing it. And my son, you know, he had a testimony. He's like, he's 10 now, but he got baptized in the Holy Spirit at 6. And he's out with his friends and they're witnessing, and one of their friends got saved. And they want to go door to door. And it's like because they're filled with the Spirit. And so, you know, we don't have to be fearful. We're not alone. This is his work. And he just wants us to go on to maturity and be excited about proclaiming what he did for us. Amen.
Hey, Elijah, you want to come and share your testimony? Yo, you can be seated for a second. I don't know if he's a long-winded preacher or not, but. He's got a great testimony, and there you go.
So it started off, so we were just outside, we were reading the Bible, and then my friend Caleb, he was raised in a family where her parents were mean to him. They didn't care what he did, so we decided to tell them about the resurrection of Jesus first and show them about that. And he said that, and we said, do you want to come to Jesus? And he said, like, and I told him that it's like the biggest decision in his life that he'll ever make. And he's like, and so he said, like, okay, but, and he said, and we did it. And, but when he did, he said he felt like he wanted to, come with us and go to door to door and in our neighborhood and just hand stuff out and preach the gospel, and that he's just trying to get out of any bad habits. He's asking the Lord to help him, and he's starting to get more curious. He's starting to want to come to church and get baptized in the Holy Spirit and in water, because I met him through my friends Wesley and Wyatt, but whenever he came, they were already talking to him, and then we started spreading the word, and he's even preaching to his parents and his friends.
Well, praise God for that.
And when he's like online or something, he sometimes tells his friends about Jesus, and yeah.
That's how it works, you know. It's just one person plants, another waters. It's God that gives the increase. And all we have to do is be willing to say something. Be there and say something. So praise God. Now he's witnessing to his parents, and maybe they'll get saved. Who knows? You never know how far the thing will go. So with that, let's stand together and we'll pray. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray today. Say, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Come up here and have some people pray with you, lay their hands upon you, pray. But God desires us to be filled with his Spirit, to receive an anointing because there's so much that he wants to do in this world, and he calls us. Now the question is, can I still share the gospel if I'm not filled with the Spirit? Absolutely. The apostles, we saw they went out laid their hands upon the sick, raised people from the dead, and they weren't even saved at the time. You know, in one sense, they were commissioned by Jesus. He gave them his authority. They weren't filled with the Spirit until the day of Pentecost, and yet they were out doing God's work. So you might say, well, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, or I've tried and I can't get it. That's still no excuse. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the examples you've given us in this book, Lord God, to show us the frailty of man and yet the power of God. I pray that each of us could freely give what we've freely received, that we would not allow this beautiful anointing of God that's come into our life to lie dormant. Help us to stir it up, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everybody said, amen. All right. Take some time to share your love with one another. And if you have a need for prayer, please feel free to come up. We'll be glad to pray with you. God bless you guys. Hope you have a wonderful holiday weekend.